Welcome to Business Mentorship Keeping It Real, where we feature entrepreneurs who are passionate about their business and have participated in our guest blog, shareyourstories.online. Today, I'd like to introduce you to Anne Wooten, who is a coach, corporate etiquette, and international protocol consultant. And with a background in entertainment, she helps us with our presentation skills. Anne joins us today from Toronto. Welcome.
Thank you, Trish, and I'm looking forward to spending time together.
You know, I have been so looking forward to our conversation this week because I have to say, who in our viewing and listening audience is not looking for some tips on presentation skills these days?
You hit the nail on the head there. And I think that just to go off the track a tiny little bit, I admire the title you've given this series of Keeping It Real. What could be more real than a global pandemic? I mean, I ask you.
Isn't that the truth?
It's the truth. So we're constantly shifting in the landscape of things and asking what questions of yourself when you're looking at your own presentation skills. I'm just going to be very quick on this because I'd love to talk a little bit about content and, you know, vocabulary, those sorts of things. I think that what has happened in just those few seconds of you and I being together, people have decided whether they like me, whether they trust me, whether they're going to listen to what I'm going to say, if they're even interested. So I think that the sooner we can accept that these things happen very quickly in real time, that we have to really look at what we are going to say, how important it is for people to listen, make it a little bit humorous, make it accessible, bite-sized pieces. So I'm going to talk about a little bit about background. First of all, I love yours. I think it's beautiful. I think that's important. I've picked a more casual background today. I've been ousted from my office. There's a little bit of work going on.
So we're keeping it real, Anne.
I'm keeping it real, and I am adapting. So you normally would not go quite as densely decorated as my background is at the moment, but I also wanted, because it's a little more casual conversation that you and I are having, I also wanted to show a little bit of my wall of shame that I have behind me. I also wanted to encourage people to look at different areas of their homes to use in the event that their home office is not available. Get your phone, walk around, sit in your favorite spots, and pick a background. Have two or three, and then you've got those to go to. Thirdly, I've often talked about this to people, and I think it hangs women up more than it hangs men up. Makeup, hair, all that stuff. If you're not a norm, I'm going to use makeup, and then I'm going to move on. I think that with people who normally wear a lot of makeup or used to doing that as a part of their ritual for preparing for the day, go for it. If you're a person who doesn't wear any, for example, you might want to just do a little bit of heightening because you don't want to just blanch out on the camera. You do need a little definition. So that's all I'm going to say about hair and makeup. That's all I'm going to say about background. And I'm also going to say, let's keep that easy. Let's not make that a thing. We have so many other things to adapt to in the face of this pandemic that I don't think we should be worrying about that stuff.
Well, you know, and it helps us with our authenticity, don't you think? I mean, I've even had men on the program, and you know, they even say to me before we go live, "Oh, is my tie straight? You know, is my jacket okay? What about my hair? Is it all right?" So, you know, regardless of gender, we still want to make sure that we're putting our best foot forward, even if it is on a little postage stamp screen, right? Trying to make a connection with the audience. Because I think to your point, we don't have very long to make that first connection, right? People are flipping through their social media feed, and if we go live like we are today, they're either going to take like that just 1 or 2 seconds, and they're going to stop, and they'll pause for a second or two and think, "Oh, okay, I'd like to watch this," or "Nope, next," and they're off to something else.
Absolutely.
So we really do. I love your comments about, you know, background and visibility, because all of those things are really easy, tangible, and actionable things that we can work on, which I think are really important. You know what I wanted to ask you a little bit about was your background in the entertainment industry, because I know you have quite a wonderful, stellar resume behind you in terms of the entertainment world. So can you give our viewing and listening audience a little sneak peek into the Anne in the entertainment industry?
Absolutely. I started off as a dancer. I trained at the School of the Royal Winnipeg Ballet. I am Canadian, after all. And I also studied at York University. So I have a BFA, an honors degree in dance. And I used that as a springboard. I had ballet training. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later. My passion was to be a ballet dancer. And gradually, it became more and more evident to me that this wasn't going to happen for any one of a number of reasons. I just wasn't suited physically, and nor was I really suited temperamentally. So those years I used to explore, and I did my first musical theater dancing, and I did a show in Winnipeg. I was hooked. I was just hooked. I was fascinated by the people around me who, I mean, I just stood there waiting like one normally does when one's a ballet dancer to be told what to do. And the others were going, I can get that prop. I'll come on from left. Can I help you here? You know, it was just, there were musicians and singers and dancers and actors. It was the full kaleidoscope of an artistic collaboration. So that was actually a light bulb moment for me. I thought, this is where I'm going to go. So I did spend about 10 years performing, but while I was doing that, I was also assisting choreographers, learning my trade, learning how to put a big show together, how to do smaller ones, one-man shows. So I've done everything from a one-man show to the Sky Dome, as it was known in those days, to 2,500 wow. people on the deck. Yeah, so
it's a full thing.
So I adapted along the way. I just had to keep taking the next step, you know. And now that I can look back more constructively about it too, I realize that I was nipping at the heels of the more established choreographers, thinking, oh goodness, when are they going to retire?
Really like a chance at that.
And now, of course, I'm looking over my shoulder going, there they are, the young ones. And this is the cycle of life. Yeah, this is absolutely, and I must encourage them.
You know, and then what a really wonderful way to give us some insight into those disciplines that you had to learn. Because, you know, I remember as a child, you know, our mothers, you know, they throw you into jazz and ballet and tap and all of those kinds of things, which were really the only opportunities for us when we were young girls. And I remember taking all of those different disciplines and, you know, having fun, but knowing that I never really was going to do anything professionally. But I always admired the discipline and the commitment to making a career out of something like dance. So, and I love your analogy of the audience because, you know, maybe you can give us an idea. So here we are, we're getting, believe it or not, anywhere between 250 to 500 people who watch these live shows, but you and I can't see them. So how do we connect with those audiences? I mean, you and I are keeping it real and we're talking to each other and trying to, you know, ensure that we're sharing a little bit of our personality. But how do folks sort of make that connection through this wonderful cyber platform?
I think openness of body language is very helpful. I mean, you're a very open, I mean, you're a professional personal trainer. You know what physicality does. I know that as a performer, a former performer, that is absolutely it. You're open through the heart. Your shoulders are back. You're engaged through the screen. Going back to presentation skills for just one moment too is, I think this connects to your question is to once you've established the rapport that you and I have at the beginning of the interview is not to fuss with anything, like try not to adjust your hair in the middle of the interview or play with your clothes or start fiddling with stuff on your desk. It's very important to just stay focused on what you're doing right in the moment. And I think that helps the audience understand that you're committed to what you're talking about, whatever your subject is. And I know for, as you were saying, as children, you know, especially girls, young women, we're put into that obligatory year of ballet class to make us more graceful, more poised, I think. And now men are in there. I mean, they are just killing it in the dance world. And that's good because we're killing it in other worlds.
Exactly. I really love the way that you brought in that there really is no gender differences anymore. I think it comes down to passion, right? passion and skill. So, you know, if you love something, you need to pursue it, because it to your point, it opens your heart and gives you an opportunity to really shine and share your personality with the people in your own personal network, which I think is really important. Now, one of the things that we do at the end of every guest blog is we share three words of advice. And I'd like you to tell us a little bit about your three words, because I think throughout our conversation today, we've been touching on a little bit of those highlights, but I'd like you to give us a little bit more in depth about passion, adapt, and humor.
I can do that. First of all, I'd like to address passion, because that certainly drove my career in dance. I just wanted to be a dancer, and nothing was going to get in my way. And, you know, here I am. I'm turning 68 on the weekend.
Yay!
And I'm still dancing. I still do class with my friends online. It's the way. So there, that opens the window to adaptability. I've run a dance class for close to 8 years now for my friends together. And what has happened is I've just pivoted, and I've made it something's popped up on my screen. There's technology getting in our way.
Yeah, no, you're good on my end.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay.
There we go. Something just obliterated us. So talk about adapt. That happened right in front of a live interview, and you just deal with it. So thank you right. for your patience. So I had to adapt from being my dream from being a ballet dancer to a musical theater dancer. And then I realized along the way, I had a flash moment. I don't want to perform anymore. And I thought, well, this is a big step. What am I going to do now? I was in my early to mid 30s, and I thought, here we go. So that training that I had done with other choreographers in advancing my career to becoming a choreographer, a director, a producer, that really helped my path, my own arc in getting to the next stage of my career. But not only that, satisfying my heart. I was still going to work with music, still going to work with dancers, still going to work with all the people that I love. And along the way, I think my humor did save me. I think when I look back, I think a lot of the things I was hired for along the way had a lot more to do with my personality and my sense of humor. I'm not demeaning my skills by any means, but I think that I can just see the funny side of things. It helps people relax. They also breathe more deeply, and then they go, this isn't the end of the world. I can get through this. So I think humor has just stood by me for close to 50 years in the entertainment industry.
Well, I really appreciate you spending some time with us, Anne, because the insight that you've given us and the little tidbits of information that we've shared with our viewing and listening audience are really very credible and actionable for the foreseeable future. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you again. It's been most fun.
And to our viewing and listening audience, thank you so much for spending some time with us and giving us an opportunity to introduce you to the person behind the logo in this edition of Keeping It Real. Thank you very much for joining us. Bye for now.
Bye, Trish. Thank you.